Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Don't miss out on amazing end-of-sale savings on bedding, curtains and more. Available now in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In-store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. It's Taylor Swift's Liveline this Friday. I hope you're feeling good. Even if there's a storm, Amy, coming our way, we want to get you in the mood for Friday. We want to know what you think of this brand new Taylor Swift album. Has she given up on all that tortured poetry and bad breakups now that she's found love? Has she got another major hit-selling album on her hands again? Is it dull razzle-dazzle from a star who seems frazzled, says one review, or five stars as Swift shoots into a fresh echelon of superstardom that hits all her marks? It's the life of a showgirl. It's Taylor Swift's much-anticipated new album. Yes, another one. 51551 for your text today, or 087-484-8888, because I want to hear from the Swifties. Give us your views and reviews. We'll let you have your say as always here on Liveline. It's liveline at rte.ie. And as I said, 51551 for your texts. Aoife, good afternoon.
Hi.
You're on your Taylor Swift holidays today, I understand.
I am. I may or may not have taken the day off work for the album release. I can either confirm or deny.
It sounds like you did, Aoife. Do they know about this at work or do I need to be careful?
No, they know. They know because I booked it the day after it was announced and I said I'm taking it off for the album. I think they thought I was joking. I was not.
So the day that Taylor Swift announced this Life of a Showgirl release was coming out, how long ago was that? Remind us.
I think it was, I can't remember the exact date. I believe it was in August because she announced it on the podcast, her boyfriend, her fiance's podcast. And I went into work the next day and I said, oh, I need the 3rd of October off. My manager was like, yes, no problem at all.
He said, medical appointment, bit of winter sun or what? And you said, no, Taylor Swift's album is coming out.
Exactly.
Was it worth the wait, Aoife?
I think so. Now, anyone who knows me knows I am a hardcore Swiftie and I make no apologies for it. So I had no context going in. I just was like, I'll listen to it, see what I think, I'll do my own reviews, and then I'll read other reviews, as in from other Swifties and from papers, media outlets, music reports. I've really enjoyed it.
We're going to come to your review in just a minute, Aoife. I'm going to hold you on that because I want the build-up. I want the anticipation. I want the excitement from someone who plans her holidays around Taylor Swift and her days off work as well. I believe you were up all night, were you?
Well, yes and no. I did go to sleep. I woke up every hour, not intentionally. I had no alarm set. I just kept checking the clock and I was like, okay, no, it's 1 o'clock. No, 2 o'clock. No, you get the idea. Then I woke up after 5 o'clock and I was like, well, I'm awake now. I might as well put it on. Closed my door so I wouldn't disturb my family. Put on my headphones. Got the notebook to do my review and press play on Spotify.
Right, 5 a.m. You were like tossing and turning all night. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is she there yet? And, well, getting ready for your reviews, taking this very seriously, putting a whole day's work into it. First impressions of the Life of a Showgirl, so?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's a very kind of sarcastic album and she's kind of letting people know I can do what I want. I have control over my music and she's big enough now that she can do what she wants and she will do what she wants. That's how I interpret it anyway.
Uh-huh. I've been listening as well there. My daughter got up as well this morning to listen to it too. But I decided I better have a listen there as well before we came on too. It starts with The Fate of Ophelia. Can we have a listen to it? And maybe this is what your first impression was this morning, because this is how it starts. The life of a showgirl, The Fate of Ophelia is the first track. Let's have a quick listen. Are you dancing, Aoife?
Yes.
I'm kind of bopping along to it. Yeah, and I was embarrassing myself in
my
the
house?
Office. What's that? We are dancing together, Aoife, to The Life of Ophelia. I couldn't help but dance along. It's good fun, isn't it? It's nice, upbeat, it's catchy. She's in a feel-good mood, is she?
Yeah.
Very different, maybe, from some of the tortured poetry, as I was saying. What was your first impression?
Well, I'll give you exactly what I'd written at around 5 a.m. I said, opposite of fire because Joshua drowning, it's drawn out syllables, very bouncy chorus, quiet bridge, 1980s rhythm beat, kind of Fleetwood Mac style at times, in my opinion.
Okay. That's interesting, because my wife said that to me as well today. She said, you're going to like this. Louise Duffy said it to us as well earlier on. There's a bit of Fleetwood Mac to it. There's a bit of Lana Del Rey to a few other songs as well.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think people like it, don't they? Overall, Aoife, you're the number one reviewer we have so far, anyway, and sounds like a super Swifty. You like it?
I do. I just think it's a great album, and I think it's not necessarily sonically cohesive. Each track sounds quite different. I think it does work because it is the life of a showgirl. It's not about Taylor Swift, the trademark Taylor Swift, the personality, is Taylor Swift, the person.
Right. And you like both, I suppose. You like Taylor Swift, the person, the personality, the celebrity, the showgirl.
Yeah. Yes. Look, whatever she puts out, I will listen to. I will admit that. She could put out really interesting songs and I will still listen. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm like. I know the reputation of Swifties have and I don't deny it.
She could put out a cover album of the Daniel O'Donnell greats and you'd listen to it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. We'll say yeah.
I'd love to read your notes on that one, Aoife. Have you always been so meticulous in your reviews and wanting to sit down, enjoy your music, take a few notes on it, keep it in a journal?
It's not always. I kind of would always make mental notes, but really only, I think, in 2020. Or something, I kind of really started. So I just find it really fun. Mm-hmm. I just like making the notes because I like reading music reviews. And then my logic was, well, if I like reading them, I like journaling anyway. This way I can get my thoughts out without being influenced by what other people think.
Okay.
So this is my unfiltered, no other opinions can sway me first. And then I'll read the other reviews to compare and contrast and then. For example, the song Father Figure, the notes that I have written for it, if I look at other people's...
Father Figure, what have you written? Yeah, go on.
I just need to find it here. I said it's kind of more so about her being the godfather kind of thing, that she's the head of the industry, that she is the godfather of the industry, that she's the one who's like, you have your loyalty to me and you'll do well.
Okay. 12 tracks. How many times have you listened to it since 5 a.m. this morning?
Three and a bit.
Three and a bit. Okay. Is it getting better as you go along?
Yeah. Because the first time was to review it. The second time was to be able to read the lyrics. Third time is to actually just fully take it all in.
Okay.
And I have a train journey tomorrow. I'll be listening on that as well.
You're going to just keep listening, keep enjoying it. But my word, you really have studied it as well. The Life of a Showgirl is the title track that features Sabrina Carpenter. Let's have a quick listen. And it's 51551, listeners, if you'd like to get in touch with your reviews.
Hey, thank you for the lovely bouquet. You're sweeter than a peach, but you don't know the life of a showgirl. Gonna wait, the more you play, the more that you pay.
You're softer than a kitten, so you don't know the life of a showgirl, babe. And you're never gonna wanna. She was a menace.
You don't know the life of a showgirl and you're never gonna wanna. And I think this is very exciting, this one, for fans of Taylor Swift and Sabrina Carpenter, who I'm informed again by an 11-year-old are very good friends. Apparently 51551 for anyone who wants to correct me or point me in the right direction here as well on Taylor Swift's new album. Lainey, good afternoon.
Hi.
What did you think?
I haven't fully decided yet. I liked it, but not as much as I thought, I think.
First impressions?
I just think lyrically it's not as good as her other ones, so that's where my issue is.
Mm-hmm. Were you up early as Aoife was?
No, not as early, but I was up at 8:30.
Uh-huh. Straight to Spotify or to your phone or your music and you put it on. So first impressions, yeah. You're a little disappointed. Was there anything that stood out in a good or a bad way for you?
I think the songs are very catchy. That was the first thing I thought. Like, they're all very fun and I think they'll do well like in the mainstream. But I think it's, for me, I really like her slow songs and sometimes her sad songs. So I think that was why I struggled at first, because there isn't really many sad songs.
And the rest of us were hoping she was going to cheer up a bit, lady.
No, I know. I'm so happy that she's happy. But for me, I love sad songs.
You're happy she's found love. You're happy she's getting married to Travis.
Yeah.
But has it killed the music for you?
Just a little bit. But maybe that's just my problem.
Uh-huh.
Me.
What do you regard as Taylor Swift's best songs? So, and is it all doom and gloom and heartbreak?
Not always. I think she has some slow songs that I like that aren't about heartbreak. Like Dear Reader, that's sad. And in a way, it's slow, but it isn't about heartbreak. But my favourite albums are probably like Folklore, Evermore, Midnight's Red. So a lot of her slow songs are on those.
Mm-hmm. What's your favourite song on this album so far?
Maybe The Fate of Ophelia.
The Fate of Ophelia. Yeah, we were listening to that one earlier on. It's the opening track. A little bit more upbeat.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound so sad. Yeah. And yet you found you were able to bop along to it as well. Like myself and Aoife, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's really fun.
Uh-huh. Have you listened to it many times?
Only, I think, 2 times in full. So not too many. I do think it will grow on me the more I listen to it.
Mm-hmm. And you're happy she's found love, you said. But, well, this is the influence, I suppose, of love on her, or marriage to Travis. As we know, as Aoife mentioned, mm-hmm. she announced it on his podcast, this album coming out. She pays tribute to him, we're told, in the album as well. But what's he done to her music?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not his impact. I guess it's up to her, but it's good that she's happy and she's writing about love, but I know that she can write about love in maybe a bit more of a beautiful way. So I'm sad that we didn't see that this time around.
Okay. You like a bit of heartbreak in a song, Lainey. I suppose it's led to some
great
music. Maybe it will grow on you, as you said. Aoife, what do you think? The traditional heartbreak Taylor Swift fans are disappointed here. Aoife, what do you think?
I do get where she's coming from, but I do love the pop. I love pop Taylor Swift and the kind of introspective, slower, melodic Taylor Swift. I think there's something for everyone. And I think, as Lainey said, it's an album that will grow on people. But I think it's like when she came out with 1989, people were completely shocked by it. It was a complete divergence from her normal stuff. But I do think she will return to that Folklore style of lyricism and music, maybe in later albums, I think, because
mm-hmm.
she's happy. She's like, I need people to know how happy I am. This mm-hmm. is, I'm overjoyed. That's how I interpret it. But I do, Folklore is in my top three, I think. So mm-hmm. I do get where Lainey's coming from.
And what did you get that from, Aoife, where she's overjoyed? Which song is that in?
Just kind of in general, just the entire theme, even the melodies. What song is it? One song kind of sounds like Be My Baby by The Ronettes. And it's just happy. She just sounds happy, even just the way she's singing. I think
okay.
it's Opalite.
Is it the one she's singing to Travis? Opalite. Yeah, we can have a quick listen to it as well. Because this is the one dedicated to him, apparently. And his birthstone, have I got it right, Aoife?
I believe so, and kind of the colour of his eyes or something, I think.
Opal. Okay. Have we got opalite?
All of the foes and all of the friends, seen it before, they'll see it again. Life is a song, it ends when it ends.
Sounds pretty good. I think they're turning the music down because I'm moving around the studio too much again, but I'll sit down again. Aoife, you were bopping again, I'm sure, as well. Lainey, Opalite, what did you think?
I think it's fun. It's up there with one of my favourites, which is maybe surprising because I say I love sad songs, but I think it's a very catchy song.
You're getting in the mood now, Lainey, as well. But I'm sure it doesn't matter what we think. This is going to break all records again, surely, for Taylor Swift. The hype, the anticipation, the downloads, and the dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt, Lainey, this will be a big one. So I want to hear from a lot more fans, please. 51551 if you want to get in touch. Helen, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Helen, I'm very
happy
well.
Friday.
And yourself?
I'm good, good.
Have you been listening to The Life of a Showgirl?
I did. I gave it a listen this morning, actually. Had a bit of a drive this morning, so you always got to check an album out in a car.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Sounds great,
yeah.
Like it's a boppy album, you know. Mm-hmm. I think people will love it once they hear it a few times, you know.
Mm-hmm. What did you love about it in particular? Any songs standing out for you? Or
yeah, so I really liked Elizabeth Taylor. I think that's going to be a boppy track, all right. Mm-hmm. And Wood as well. It kind of has reminds me of a Jackson 5 song.
Okay.
That kind of.
And Elizabeth Taylor, no prizes for guessing what it's about, or is it Taylor Swift trying to establish a connection between them, or what?
I actually don't know. I haven't listened enough times to understand the lyrics yet. But my feel from the album is that it's very upbeat, like, and it's kind of, I think maybe it's going back to 1989 kind of buzz, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're the same producers that done the two albums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I like it.
You like it? Let's have a quick listen. Let's have a quick listen to Elizabeth Taylor. Only as hot as your last hit, baby. I think that is pretty good, Helen. And you're right.
Yeah, it's really catchy.
Yeah, and it sounds like classic Taylor Swift, does it? You mentioned she's moved back to producer Max Martin from previously working with Jack Antonoff for this record. So getting back to her roots or the 1989 era a little bit, you think?
Yeah, I think he also done Reputation, so has a bit of that feel for it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I play in a Taylor Swift tribute band myself, so I'm looking forward to actually playing these tracks.
Oh, wow. 51551 if other listeners want to get in touch, because while we're hearing from people who've been fans forever and love all of her stuff, you actually sing Taylor Swift songs. Tell me a little bit more about the band.
I'm actually the bass
player. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm the bass player. We're a six-piece band, The Swift Show. Basically, we put the band together about a year ago, and we've been covering all the albums, you know.
The Swift Show.
The Swift Show, yeah.
Who's in the band, Helen?
So, we have six members. So our singer is Yasmin Walker, great singer. Kate Dineen is our backup singer. Myself on bass, Stephen on drums, Matt on guitar, and Glenn on lead guitar. So we're going for the whole Taylor Swift, Nashville kind of, you know, her original band, the agency. We're going for that kind of buzz.
Okay, and you like a bit of country, obviously, as well.
Try to incorporate everything.
How did you all come together? Was it a love of Taylor Swift or just a love of music and wanting to perform?
We love performing, and we all kind of have been involved in various different bands. But like, we just think that like there was no Taylor Swift live band experience out there, you know. And so we really just wanted to bring that to the stage.
Okay. And we saw how hard it was to get tickets for Taylor Swift's concert, and the cost involved, and just the whole effort of actually getting in line and hoping to actually be one of the lucky ones who got to pay a fortune to go and see her as well. It didn't work out for me or my family, Helen.
Me
do you
neither.
Get a lot of that where people might want to come and enjoy it anyway? Or what kind of venues do you play? What kind of crowds?
We play in, well, our last gig was Monroe's in Galway.
Great.
And we played a great little festival there in Gorey, Market House Festival. It was a huge, huge crowd. But you do see the crowd is so diverse. You know, you get young Swifties loving it. You get teenagers. You get, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and they're all singing along. Like, it really is. Like, it can be family friendly, and you know, you can also do the adult shows as well. Mm-hmm.
It sounds great. The Swift show sounds like a great night out. Kate, who you mentioned, has joined us as well on the line as well. 0818 715 815 if you want to get in touch, or 51551. Kate, you're the backing singer, I believe.
I am, yes.
Tell me about your role in the Swift show, so, and what you get out of it.
I think for me, it's as Helen said, it's bringing that real live experience to people, especially when we do those shows like in Gorey. I mean, like you said, there were 7,000 people there. They came out because they couldn't get tickets to the Eras Tour. They were there to experience it, you know, parents with their kids, groups of friends, you know, just like having a great time singing along. And for me, that's really the buzz of playing with the Swift show. You know, we bring that live experience. A lot of people, it might be their first live concert, seeing first band live, you know, so it's really great to kind of bring all the elements, not just the lyrics and the singing. Obviously, Yaz is incredible at capturing Taylor. She has the outfits. She has the vocals are just stunning. But it's that, and it's also the lead guitar part. We have the backing vocals covered. We have the drums. It really just brings the whole thing to life, I think. And I think it's just such a great experience to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. There's a lot of people out there can't afford these concert prices now, like Taylor Swift. It has got pretty extortionate in some cases, I'd have to say. Also, like, just very difficult to actually get that place, the time and effort and the money to get there as well. So you're seeing people come to enjoy music for the first time. That sounds like a nice experience to be able to share that with them, Kate.
It really is. It really is. And you know what? Like, everyone, I think the thing with Swifties is, like the girls, Aoife and the other lady that's on, like, people just love Swifties, know Taylor inside out. It doesn't matter what song you play, they know every word, they're screaming along, they're just, you know, having a good time, and you kind of feed off that energy. So it's just so great to be able to bring that and tour it around Ireland.
Did you listen to this new album, Life of a Showgirl, this morning, Kate?
I have. I had like a high level listen. I listened through it once. So I haven't gotten to get like into the nitty gritty of it yet.
First
impressions.
I'm excited
to, I think kind of similar to everyone else, definitely a lot more boppy than the last album, The Tortured Poets Department. Definitely she seems a lot happier, which is nice to see, even if you do like the sadder songs. For me, I think there was a lot of, as is kind of her style, very confessional. I think one that stood out to me was Eldest Daughter. She was talking about her experiences with trolling and online comments and that kind of thing. And I suppose sometimes you see someone like Taylor Swift, who's such a superstar, you think she's protected from all this. You know, she is just the face of everyone else is probably helping her. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I suppose she's just a woman, and she's a human woman who's behind all of this. And these things do impact her. And I suppose it kind of just makes you think a little bit as well about the person behind, you know, the name and the songs and everything else.
And Camira, are you going to be learning any of these new songs, do you think? Do you see it catching on quickly? Because when we've got fans up at 5 a.m. this morning and they are listening over and over again on repeat, and I'm sure kids are out there doing it this afternoon after school as well. 51551 if anyone wants to get in touch with us about this. But they'll want to hear these songs, won't they, Kate, from the Swift show in
of
your
course.
Next gigs?
Exactly. And the group chat's been happening this morning. We're already discussing which songs we think will work well within the band. And if anyone has any songs they want to request, like, just give us a shout on Instagram. We're there at the Swift show. Mm-hmm. And you can let us know what songs you'd like to hear the next time we're playing.
What are the big crowd pleasers right now? What are the ones that you gets everybody screaming the words, as you say, be it in Gorey or Galway, Helen or Kate? Tell me, what are the ones everyone wants to know, the big crowd pleasers?
I think Love Story.
Love Story, yeah. Shake It Off.
That gets everybody bouncing. But I think doing some of the lesser well-known ones as well, funnily enough, the older ones.
Yeah, keep on going, keep on going.
Some like Fearless or any of them, people love to hear some of the more obscure ones as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. Love Story is one of my daughter's favourites, I know. And Helen and Kate, I bet you know the words. I bet you know the bass, Helen. Will you give us a few bars, guys? Will you sing along? A bit of a backing track there for you.
Go for it, Kate.
Go for it. Come on, the Swift Show.
Romeo, save me. Somewhere we can be alone. I'll be wasting all day loving you. You'll be the princess. I'll be the princess.
It's a love story, baby. Just say yes. Oh my God, I did it. I did it. I know some of them inside out, I'm afraid. Helen and Kate, thank you so much. The Swift Show, 51551. If you want to get in touch with us to tell us what you think of The Life of a Showgirl.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, 0818 715 815.
And I'll try not to sing again. Apologies. You can stop those calls of complaint now. 51551 for your text if you want to get in touch about Taylor Swift, The Life of a Showgirl, or anything else besides, including Storm Amy, because I want you all to be very careful out there today, particularly right along the west coast and in the northwest of the country. The latest we're hearing from Met Éireann and the news that you'll find on online on RTE News is that there's a red wind warning now for County Donegal from 4 o'clock this afternoon. So that's very serious and very dangerous potentially. So please do stay, be careful. I think that's one to stay indoors on when we're at a red wind warning as well. So do take precautions. The orange wind warning is in effect for Leitrim, Sligo, Mayo, Galway and Clare, and a yellow wind warning in place for the rest of the country. And there's a significant risk of flooding in the southwest, the west and the northeast of the country. Certainly there's a risk, we're told, of travel disruption, fallen trees and power outages expected. And do get in touch if it's impacting on you where you are, or maybe let us know your plans as well, because I know last year was a tough one. This winter storm, Eowyn, gone. We haven't forgot it. And my goodness, many of you will be making preparations because we know just how serious these storm warnings can be. Storm Amy, hopefully not as bad, but please be careful. It's 51551 if you want to let me know what's going on where you are. Emma, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and swiftly moving on to Storm Amy, John. I had to get that in.
You had to swiftly move me on. Emma's on Inishbofin, and we spoke recently on the programme, and I'm thinking of people like you right there out on the west coast today. Describe the conditions to me, will you?
Well, when the time your researcher had phoned me, it was starting to freshen up quite nicely. We already had a dump of rain, which left a couple of some flooding around the area, around the fields in front of the house. I noticed it was starting to fill up with water and stuff like that. Since then, the rain has kind of eased off. The wind is pounding the front of the house. I can't see out the front of the house because the windows are all seawater. The sea, I can hear every now and again the sea washing against the front of the house here. So yes, the news that the weather for people were right. It is westerly. It's meant to go northwesterly, and if things stay the way they are now, and it doesn't get any worse, I'm hoping we'll be okay. But we're all on high alert after the last storm. This island got a hammering, and all the other islands around the west coast as well, including our own house here, got damaged. So we are all up in a heap at the moment and a bit worried.
And Emma, you obviously love the sound of the sea and the ruggedness of the coastline, and what an amazing place you're in Inishbofin. But do you worry when you hear these storm warnings? And I suppose when we've seen how dangerous they can be or have been in recent years.
I suppose storms, you know, up to a certain point, even going back a couple of years, didn't seem as bad as what we are getting now. Yeah, I love to see, I love to hear the rain, you know, whatever. But when it's like this, and my roof is every time there's a gust, I can hear the roof kind of cracking and the beams and stuff like that. It's kind of worrying. But the only good thing we have, on our side today on the island is we had a boat this morning. It came back in at 10 o'clock that we have light. It's bright. So we can actually see mm-hmm. what's happening outside. We can see what's being blown around. Mm-hmm. We can see, and I've already done a weather remote report for Channel 2 downtown Denver this morning. I was outside in my wellies and mm-hmm. my jacket before it got too bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is worrying. But as I say, you know, all we can do is come inside, wait it out, and hopefully there's no damage. And, you know, and we're thinking of the whole of Ireland because everybody is in the same boat. It's not only the west of Ireland, it's everybody else. And my own daughter, Amy, flies back across the Atlantic Ocean today to Colorado. And then we have Storm Amy coming this direction. So, which is a bit, yeah. But it's upsetting and it's worrying. Uh-huh. And it's hopefully, as I say, if things stay around what they are now and the gusts don't get any worse, hopefully by 10 o'clock tonight we should be clear.
515-51 if you want to get in touch to let me know where you are, if you're in any of the affected counties, if Storm Amy is already making her presence felt where you are. Emma, stay with us if you can. Monica, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, John. How are you? Yeah. I'm outside the house here. I'm actually in a town called near Ballandine, County Mayo.
I know it well.
And a townland, yeah, called Holy Boy. And my partner's out there. And I don't know if you can hear it. Can you hear it?
Oh, we can hear, yeah. Are you okay? Are you safe, yeah. Monica?
No, I'm fine, yeah, because the trees were tough, but they're still, you know, quite high. I am safe, yeah. I just got in around half one, and the electricity is gone here now, oh. So... We go, yeah, luckily, when I was in town, I went into one of the shops there and they were selling candles, you know, a set of candles for $9.99 and I got some. So I'm glad I did now because we won't have any light tonight now. For just, we'll have candlelight. Well, it'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, it always sounds so romantic, doesn't it? But in some of the power cuts recently, the candlelight went on a bit too long, didn't it?
Well, it certainly did because we went over to Clifton that time for a few days and they had absolutely no power and we came back early because there was no point really with no power, you know.
Uh-huh.
None of the restaurants were open or anything.
Well, hopefully it won't last this long. Go on, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's warm, you see. It's quite mild, which is amazing, really. It's, you know, outside, it's quite mild. And I don't know what we'll do this evening. Luckily, yesterday I made an Irish stew, so we can put it on the range and heat it up.
Oh, sounds lovely. So. And thank God for the range there. So you can keep that going, can you, when you turn off the power or when the power's gone?
Oh, well, as long as the water is not turned off, you see, we'd be okay.
Yeah, everything gets complicated the longer the power cuts goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. So, well, the range is handy now for a while anyway, and hopefully the power will be back later.
Uh-huh. So it's just really windy where you are so far, Monica, and the power is down, but you don't know why the power is out yet, or did you see any trees down around you?
No, I haven't seen any trees down, but, you know, if this keeps up, it probably will. But there was a convoy of the ESB network vans in town there earlier. So they're obviously on standby, you know.
Oh, yeah, those crews are going to be busy, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, easily. I'd say they will be all right. So that's the story from here anyway.
And Monica, thanks very much for letting us know what's going on near Ballandine there as well. And Monica, do you, following on from, say, last winter and Storm Éowyn, I've been wondering, because I know you're in a place in Mayo, I know lots of people in Roscommon there beside you and all along the west coast as well, where they were without power for so many weeks earlier this year. And not only that, they had four or five power cuts. Do you take more preparations now? Or you said you were buying the candles, or... Will you be thinking that you need longer term measures?
Anyway, but we have the batteries in for the radio. I can put that on later. But that's it. We won't have tea. Haven't got a generator now. A lot of people did actually get them and got some camping stuff, you know, the camping gas and all that, which
is
also
lifesaver,
handy.
Yeah.
And then a lot of houses have the gas as well. You know, they use gas anyway, so they'll be okay.
But yeah, I mean, you just have to prepare now because you just don't know when it's going to hit.
It's 51551 if listeners want to get in touch. Monica, won't you stay in safe anyway? Enjoy that stew,
I
think.
I'm going to go in now and I'm going to put the kettle on the range and boil the kettle.
Great. And are you like on your own, Monica, or will you have company over candlelight?
No, I'm not. I have Michael here to keep me company.
Is Michael your husband?
Is my partner.
Your partner.
Well, not yet, but maybe one day we will.
Monica, have you something to ask Michael now that you're on just talking to me here?
Well, gosh, you never know. Michael, would you like to marry me?
Is Michael with you?
Yeah, he said maybe next year.
Is Michael with you, Monica?
He is, but he's on his phone at the moment.
Would he have a word to me on your phone there, would he?
Will you talk to this man on the phone? No, he's actually on, he was at the march there in Ballinrobe this morning, so he's talking to somebody.
Monica, isn't that just typical, isn't it? Isn't it? He's talking to them about the cattle, he's on about the march, and all you want to do is be made an honest woman now and get married to him.
Well, sure, I'll let you know if it happens anyway.
Monica,
I'll send a WhatsApp in.
Okay, look, eventually now he might put that phone away or the power might stop him from charging up. You can look into his eyes over that candlelight.
We'll have a few Although minutes to ourselves if that happens.
It sounds like you're going to need less, more than subtle hints with Michael there. Monica, thanks so much.
That's okay, John. No problem.
And Michael, you're off the hook for now, but we'll get back to you, okay?
He's still having a way there on the phone.
I bet he is.
Anyway, he's avoiding the issue. Anyway, sure, we'll talk to you again, John.
Monica, I hope there's good news soon in terms of Storm Amy and your love life as well. Put on a bit of Taylor Swift there and sit back and enjoy the candlelight as well. Thank you. Patricia's on the line as well. And it's 51551 if listeners want to get in touch with us today. Please let me know where you are along the West Coast and what's happening. Patricia, where are you?
So we're in Ennis-Dymond here, John.
County Clare.
County Clare, that's right.
Very good. Describe to me the conditions there, please.
Well, John, since this morning, there's been just an absolutely huge change. This morning was fine. And our children were in Lahinch Leisure Centre this morning swimming and everything was fine in Lahinch, you'd say, by the sea.
Yes.
And all was okay. They went swimming. Everything was fine. They came back. It was okay up to 10:30, 11:00. And then about shortly after 11:00, we could see that things were kind of picking up and it was the amount of rain that was coming and the wind. And we noticed then that the warning was changing from, we were in Clare, in North Clare, we were in the yellow warning. And from 2:00 onwards, it was going into the orange. So we contacted our parents, I'd say about 11:30. I contacted my chairperson and I felt that we needed to get the kids home safely. Priority at the moment for us was getting their children home and our staff home safely. So I contacted, we have a small little school, so it was very easy to contact all the parents. And one parent actually made contact with me before I contacted him.
Right.
And said, you know, she was concerned. Because, and it's really, really now has become unbelievably stormy. And like the roads, I can see like, you know, not kind of branches all over, branches falling down and across the road there on the Ennis Road on the way to Ennis. From Ennis-Dymond to Ennis, there was branches on the road and kind of trees and, you know, kind of their branches have fallen down. It's just in the last hour, things have changed quite a lot. Even my car, it's really shaking in the car. You know, the car is much, it's just very different to what we had this morning. And like the orange warning now is enforced now from 2:00 in the Clare area.
So
it was
Patricia,
supposed to be much later.
Yeah, so you were worried. You didn't want home time and the school pickups to come during the orange warning or when things were getting windier.
No, I mean, absolutely. Safety for my children, safety for my parents and safety for my staff. I have two staff members that are, one of them is 45 minutes away from my school. Another one is another 35. So my importance to get my staff home safely, get my children home safely, get myself home safely as well.
Of course.
You know, get us all the most important thing at the moment is to stay indoors, stay safe, not to be going any, you know, I told myself, stay inside now tonight until this passes, you know. Hopefully this will all be over by 10 o'clock this evening. But paramount at the moment for us is safety.
Of course, our children
have all got home safely. Our parents are all safe now. There's nobody out in the roads anymore. We're all, you know, and that's, I'm happy about that because nobody knows what's in store. You know, things did, as I said, moved. This morning, we're very much close to the coast in Ennistymon. We're really close. And it can change so quickly.
It's 51551 for your text, 087-484-8888 if listeners want to get in touch with us as well. And 0818-715-815, of course, to let us know where you are or if you're getting ready for Storm Amy there or feeling the impacts already. And Patricia, I've realised now we've been speaking recently as well about Fergla National School, your seven-pupil national school that needs 11 to stay open. Did you get any more pupils since we spoke last?
Actually, we didn't, but all is not lost, John. All is not lost. As a result of I being on Liveline and my staff and making the appeal, it was kind of not just in our own county, it was countrywide.
Yeah.
As a result of all that, the Department of Education contacted me. They were inundated with emails, especially the response we got from Liveline. So many people were really, really supportive of the small school and very sympathetic to our plight.
That's great to hear, Patricia.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And the department contacted me and said, oh, hold on a minute. What's all this talk about closing down? I said, well, we don't have our 11. And she said, oh, no, hold on a second now. Please make this very clear. No, the Department of Education are not going to be trying to close you down. And it was just such a relief, John, to hear that. They said, look, we're going to try to do everything to keep you open. So they told me about this small school's appeal that I have to wait now until next, probably March, try to get my 11 between now and then.
Yeah.
And they'll give me next March to put in a small school appeal. So really, I'm going to have till next September, which is 12 months' time. And if I have my 11 by then, I'll be fine. So I'm just absolutely delighted. It's given us so much time now, and it's a huge success. So thank you, John, for highlighting it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Patricia. I'm delighted that we could be part of, or some small part of, what sounds like a more hopeful story there right now for you. Because I know you want to keep the school open. It maybe gives you a little bit more time or less pressure, and hopefully those extra pupils and families will come your way.
I think they will, because really, I suppose, John, and I did say that to you, we made the appeal at the 11th hour because it was very difficult to make the appeal. It was kind of hard. It wasn't easy to do it, John. I did say that to you.
Yeah.
It was really, really hard. But so, you know, sometimes when you do something and then you have it said, and it's said out and it's open, it's like this relief has come over you then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just that. It's the way the people came behind us. I had phone calls from all over Ireland, even today, a principal in a boat similar to myself, that kind of said, do you know, it's great that it's on the table. And thank you, John, for putting it on the table. Because, you know, I was telling you about those schools that closed last year, those lovely 8 schools.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, it's a hard one to talk about, because if you mention it, then people kind of might turn away from you and say, oh God, there's a fear of closure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of caught in a rock and a hard place.
I know what you're saying.
You do?
Yeah. Patricia, thanks so much. I'm glad to hear things are looking up. Hopefully,
things are looking really, really positive.
Yeah, hopefully the whole school community is feeling a little bit better about your future there. And they got to go home early today as well, Patricia. You're very popular, I'd say.
Yeah, very, very.
Patricia, stay safe in the storms there. Thank you so much for talking to us again. And keep in touch as well. As she said, putting the word out there, getting things off your chest, saying it out loud. It's interesting to see what support has come back to her there in her school. And also, thanks very much for the wise words about the storm as well, because we're urging you to stay safe. It's Liveline at rte.ie, 087-484-8888 and 51551 for your texts.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. 0818 715 815.
and 51551 for your texts. John Cook with you until 3 o'clock this Friday afternoon. Two more shows to go before Budget 2026, and we've heard some amazing stories of hard-working family carers telling us how they look after their loved ones, and yet some of them have felt upset because of not qualifying for certain grants and allowances. Feeling unrecognised was what I heard loud and clear from lots of them this week. And we hope that the government is listening too ahead of Budget 2026. And we'd like more of your stories. Liveline@rte.ie. Paul, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, John.
Thanks very much for joining us as well. Paul, will you tell me a little bit about your situation, please?
Okay, so my wife, Tricia, was diagnosed with cancer, ovarian cancer, in June of 2023. I applied for the CARES benefit and I got it. But someone said to me, you should apply for the CARES support grant, mm-hmm. which I think was around €1,800. I applied for it and I was told, no, you can't have it. I appealed it and I was turned down on the appeal. And the reasons why I was turned down is, and this is what I'm trying to highlight, is I want to ask the government, why did I make it so difficult for a carer to get the care support grant? You have to be, they say to me, you must be minding or caring for your loved one 6 months prior to the first Thursday in June of that year to qualify for the grant. What about the second 6 months? My wife lived, excuse me, I'm a little bit emotional.
No, you're okay, Paul.
My wife lived from...
Take your time.
From the moment she was diagnosed in June of 2023, she died on the 4th of the 4th, 2024. Am I entitled to the first 4 months of the 12 months grant of €1,800 from January, February, March? April? No.
It sounds like a tricky one and a little bit complex, and I'll come back to it. But basically, you've been told or you found out that you didn't qualify for this benefit. It's a €2,000 carers support grant because the period in which you were caring for your late wife didn't include the first Thursday in June because she got sick in late June and died in April. Have I got it correct, Paul?
Of the following year.
Yeah.
But you must be caring for your loved one 6 months prior to the first Thursday in June of that year. So in order for me to have qualified for the grant, I would have to have been minding my wife for December of the previous year, January, February, March, April, May. And then I would qualify to get the grant.
Right. It sounds like a very technical one, doesn't it?
What about the second 6 months? If you got a job in the morning, wouldn't you get paid the following week?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you be paying tax immediately?
And you had to give up work to care for your late wife, Paul. Will you tell me a little bit more about Tricia?
I'm a Dublin man living in Kerry. My wife was from Carstadine. I married her when she was 23 years of age, and she died at the age of 53. We were just married under 30 years.
Right. 30 good years, Paul?
30 good years, yeah. We had our, look, hot marriage doesn't go through problems. Everyone has problems and arguments and everything like that. But, you know, like the priest says at Mass, love conquers all. And regardless of all the Mickey Mouse arguments we might have had in life, when she got sick, I gave up my job, and the company I worked for thankfully kept my job until I returned to work.
Right. And you found your work accommodating there, but you had to apply from a financial point of view, I'm sure, looking after Tricia and your own household needs as well there for allowances from the Department of Social Protection.
Well, she got the illness benefit, which I think was about €180 a week, and I got the carer's benefit. The difference between the carer's benefit and the carer's allowance is €1. the carer's benefit is not means tested. So you can, whether you're a millionaire or a man that's homeless, you can apply for the carer's benefit and you probably get it, but you can only claim it for 2 years. After that, you must be means tested. And then when you're means tested, it's called the carer's allowance.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we've been hearing about from a lot of our listeners this week, that they're concerned about that means test for the carer's allowance. What you looked for then was a separate grant that you'd heard about, the carer's support grant.
Support grant, yes.
And you said it was 1,800 at the time. I believe it's 2,000 or around that now, I'm told. But you didn't get it because you were caring.
But I didn't get it. Yeah. And sorry for interrupting.
You're okay.
I even appealed it to the ombudsman and I was rejected there because the criteria state you must be caring for your loved one 6 months prior to the first Thursday in June of that year.
Mm-hmm.
What about the second 6 months? And for me, the next 4 months.
We've been in
touch. Why is there this little barrier of the first Thursday in June?
Yeah. I was just going to say, Paul, after we've been in touch with you on this, we have also been in touch with the Department of Social Protection here on the Liveline team as well. And in response, they tell us, and you're right, the way you explain it to me, to qualify for the carer's support grant, one of the conditions includes that a carer must be caring for the person for a continuous period of at least 6 months. And this period includes the first Thursday in June. The rule exists, I'm told, to ensure that the grant is paid to carers who are providing ongoing full-time care and attention.
Yeah.
A carer can apply for carer support grant for any given year from April of that year until the 31st of December of the following year. They say, for example, you can apply from any time from April 24 up to the 31st of December 2025. The statement goes on to tell me about this grant is an annual payment of €2,000 paid in June each year, and the grant is fully exempt from income tax, PRSI and USC. But here's the thing, just to remind us again, you were looking after Tricia from June of 2023 for 10 months until her untimely death in April of 2024. And you've missed out here.
I've missed out, yeah.
How does that make you feel, Paul?
I'm very angry, to be honest with you. And I'd like the government to take away that little snare, if that's what you want to call it, you know, that you must be minding someone 6 months prior to the first Thursday in June. If you're caring for someone, you're caring for someone. If they need that support grant, give them the support grant. When I gave up my job, and my wife, of course, had to give up her job, our income fell by 75%. The same bills came through the door. The ESB came through the door. The oil man came through the door. Car tax, car insurance, house insurance, all them things still came through the door. There was no, oh, sorry, your wife is sick. Oh, yeah, we'll drop your insurance. There's none of that.
Uh-huh. Of course.
You know, so why are the government trying to make, is it because someone, God forbid, was like a little Scrooge man in a small office and we'll make more money by stopping the people getting this support grant?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make this condition?
I don't think that's the case necessarily here, but there has to be controls, I'm sure, and protections to ensure that this money is properly spent and the right money goes to people who need it as well. In 2025, I'm told there were 162,000, 136 grants paid to 142,638 carers. But it would seem, and it's hard to believe, Paul, but that you're right, but to put it simply and unfortunately maybe a little bluntly as well, that if Trisha's illness and her last months had been at a different time of the year, you would have qualified for this money.
Yeah, well, life isn't easy. You just got to chug along.
Paul, I can tell it's added a bit of hurt. It's added a bit of hurt to what you're already going through, and I'm a difficult time that you a very difficult time in your life, and I'm sorry to hear it. How are you doing now?
I'm doing great, and you know my job. They kept my job open for me, and you know I
proper
have to
order.
Thank them for that.
Yeah. Paul, thanks very much for raising that one with us.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, maybe if you have politicians on the line with you there sometime, you might put that question to them and ask them, is there any way they can change the law or mm-hmm. change that stipulation? Because people, in my situation, I was minding Tricia for the second 6 months. Mm-hmm. So, like, the second 6 months of a year, am I not entitled to half the... that grant? No, unfortunately.
Paul, I'm glad you raised it with us. We have lots of people getting in touch with us ahead of Budget 2026, and it's one we're putting out there as well to the politicians if they're listening. And as I say, one that we've been in touch with the Department of Social Protection on as well. Paul, take care of yourself, and thanks very much for talking to us on Liveline. It's 51551 if you want to get in touch.
Get in touch with Liveline on 0818 715 815.
And 51551 for your texts. If anyone remembers the Blue Max, I'd love to hear from you as well. When the summer of 1965 saw the skies over South Dublin and Wicklow transformed into a World War One battlefield as biplanes and triplanes weaved through the air in breathtaking aerial dogfights with the roar of engines and the crackle of stunt gunfire, these vintage aircraft reenacted the drama of early air combat against the city skyline. This year marks the 60th anniversary of the filming of the Blue Max in Ireland and the major excitement of a Hollywood movie being shot in Dublin and other locations around the country. Gerry Duffy, you remember it well and you write so well about it too. Will you tell me about the Blue Max?
Yes, John. I have a lot of recollections of the film, and I put them together in a short story which I sent into Ireland's Own there back a few months back. And it was published in August. Mm-hmm. So based on my memories as a 9-year-old, my father was a flight sergeant in the Air Corps. A lot of the Air Corps personnel were used as technicians, engineers to keep the replica planes at the ready for flying and filming. So any trip out to Baldonnell, as it was called at the time, was always a great adventure. And before that, it was just to see the Irish planes and the Alouette helicopters and so on. But when the replica planes came in, it was a different scene and very exciting indeed for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And great memories.
And for anyone who doesn't know about it or remembers it, a World One battle we heard there, the Blue Max. Have you seen the movie? Did you get to enjoy it afterwards? Tell us what it's about.
Yes. Yeah, the film is based on a foot soldier who rises through the ranks and becomes a pilot with the German Air Force at the time. But he's an arrogant individual and he's not liked by his peers and rises. His main aim was to win the Blue Max medal, which is a coveted medal for pilots for downing 20 enemy planes. So that's what the story is. There's a love triangle in there. George Peppard was the hero or anti-hero. Ursula Andress and James Mason. So you had three A-list film stars at
Ursula
the time.
Ursula Andress, that's a big name. George Peppard, yes. Better known as Hannibal Smith from the A-Team.
Correct.
I'm told as well. But yes. When you say Ursula Andress and names like that, this was Hollywood comes to Dublin.
Absolutely. And there was no CGI. You've got to remember every plane had to be replicated and they bought a fleet of planes for at the time, I think $250,000, nine replica planes, some disguised tiger moths, and then replica Fokker triplanes and so on. So there was a lot of work in bringing those planes over, and they were actually used in films later up till about 1970. So there was about three or four films that were used with those planes. So it was a good time financially for a lot of the Defence Forces personnel because they were used as extras, as technicians, and it was also an exciting time, obviously, with film stars in mm-hmm. out in Baldonnell and Western Aerodrome as well.
You were 9 years old, Gerry, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Looking on, starstruck, looking up to the sky,
yes.
Neck aching there, I'd say, as well,
yes.
Looking at these planes. Describe the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, any time I was out there, the planes would be on the ground usually or just getting fueled up and ready for the off. A lot of the actual flying and what they call dogfights took place over Callery Bog, Kilpeder, out there. And as I say, as there was no CGI, the helicopters had to go up with cameras and get very close to the action. I suppose what struck me, my one memory was in one of my father's hangars where he worked in Baldonnell, the hangar there was set up with a triplane held by steel cables from the gantry. And behind that was a blue screen, which replicated clouds. So George Peppard had to be hoisted up into the plane. It was a real plane, a triplane, a Fokker triplane. And he had to, the blue wind, they had wind machines to make it look like he was up in the plane for the close-ups, because obviously you couldn't do that from a helicopter from a distance. So it was tricky filming. But again, everything was done manually, if you know what I mean. There was no computers back then, no CGI. So all I would have seen was the excitement of the planes coming and going and out in Weston Aerodrome. Then they had Ardmore Studios, which was fairly fledgling at the time. And it was a big money spinner for them. And it also was well supported by the government at the time. Sean Lamass visited the sets on many occasions. There was great government support for the making of the film.
Exciting times, Gerry, and great memories. And it's liveline at rte.ie if anyone wants to get in touch on this and other things. The most important jobs there, and as well as the dazzling Hollywood stars. I'm sure people were very impressed with the pilots flying those planes. Ken, were you in the cockpit?
Yes, indeed, I was in the cockpit. I was lucky enough to be selected as a 24-year-old, along with another, I suppose, 15 pilots from the Air Corps. And we started, as you just heard there, with the Blue Max in 65, the summer of 65.
Right.
It was an exciting beginning to our capacity to dogfight in triplanes and biplanes.
Uh-huh. And Ken, how long were you in the Air Corps?
Myself, I was in the Air Corps for 40 years. At that time, that was November, I think, of 64, when word came out from the Department of Defense that 20th Century Fox were looking for assistance to make this mega film.
And I was just going to say, what's it like then when you're asked to be part of a movie, or where you're told there's an opportunity here, or can you remember that time and what you thought of it?
Well, I tell you, it was coffee time, I think, in the officer's mess in Baldonnell when we first got the news that the film was coming. And of course we didn't believe it, because we thought that will never happen. But then as time went on and as Christmas approached, we discovered the name of the film was going to be the Blue Max. It was going to involve flying a lot of replica aircraft, I think nearly eight different types. And it would all start and begin in the summer of 65.
Right. What stands out in your memory from that filming, Ken, and the movie and those big stars?
Well, of course, there are so many things that stand out. We only met the stars occasionally during the filming of the Blue Max. The stars were kept very much under control, and photographs were not allowed.
No selfies in them days, Ken.
We did get to meet George Peppard, James Mason, and Jeremy Kemp and Carl Michael Vogler. They were the main actors and of course Ursula Andress herself, who I had the pleasure of, as a 24-year-old, of shaking her hand. She wanted to go for a flight in one of the biplanes, and when we landed,
you'd have been happy to bring her, Ken, I think.
I wasn't the lucky one. I think I was outranked when it came to bringing her onto the air. But I certainly got to shake her hand afterwards, and all she said was, "You are very brave."
And what did you say, Ken? Were you able to speak at all?
No, I think I was utterly speechless, I have to admit.
Embracing Ursula Andress there. Is the Blue Max out there? Can you see that movie? Or I wonder, is it out there anymore? Or is it available to see?
Well, I most of the people that were in it will have copies of it. I know I have it recorded on my own television here.
Right.
But it appears from time to time on Irish television.
It is one I'm going to look out for. Thank you very much, Ken.
It was the most successful of the four films that were made, and made a lot of money. It made a lot of money, as I understand it, for 20th Century Fox. And we were delighted, even though, unfortunately, there were accidents involved and we did lose a few people. But otherwise,
it was a very exciting
time.
Mm-hmm. Exciting times, good memories. Thank you for sharing them with us, Ken. Memories of the Blue Max there. It's liveline@rte.ie or 51551.